May the Lord tonight I'd like to talk a little bit this evening about preparation. I'm going to make a pretty good guess tonight that just about every one of us in here like to eat. Done a lot of traveling, stayed in a lot of saints' homes, and a lot of times the sister will ask me what I like to eat. She says she likes to cook. And I said, you and I are going to get along famously. Because I like to eat, you like to cook, that's a good combination. But I noticed that when the sisters cook a meal, there's an awful lot of preparation put into a big meal. It takes a long time. A lot of ingredients are put into it, a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of toiling and laboring in the kitchen. And then I've watched, for instance, I'm thinking of Thanksgiving and the big meals that I've seen my wife fix. Then we sit down at the table, and you know, it doesn't take near the time to consume it as it did to prepare it. It goes much quicker. And I've even heard them say that, you know, I spent all that time laboring and working in the kitchen and we're done eating already. But you know, I'm thinking about life tonight. And life, to me, is a time of preparation. Yes. Yes. It's a time to prepare. That's what we're doing here on this side of eternity, is to prepare for eternity. And there's a lot that goes into the preparation. There's a lot that we do in living life, a lot that needs to be considered. And people seem to be going after so many things. Their priorities are on things that seems to satisfy their flesh, their fleshly desires. And really, that's not where our focus ought to be. That's not where our priorities ought to be, is what satisfies my flesh.
That's right.
But it ought to be on our soul.
That's right.
And where our soul is going to be in eternity. Only two choices for eternity. But yet every one of us are making a choice tonight for either heaven or hell. A lot of choices to make in life. A lot of things that go into our preparation for the time that we take our final breath. I told this in Guthrie, but this is something that happened to me 40 years ago. And it was such an experience that I've never forgotten it. But when I was a young man, I was, I think, 20 years old. I worked for a private ambulance company, and we had to take Red Cross first aid and then advanced first aid. It's not like the paramedics of today. I didn't work in a emergency ambulance. I worked in a private ambulance. We got called. We did a lot of cadaver work in the middle of the night and things like that. But I remember one night that we had got a call that a woman was in labor. And me and the other fellow, we took off, and it was his night to drive and my night to ride in the back, take care of the patient. The boss, thank you. The boss would assign that when we went in. So anyway, we got over to the house, and there was a woman laying in the bed in the living room, and she was writhing with pain. There were several people sitting around the room, and I said to the fellow that was with me, I said, well, let's hurry and get her on the cart, get her in the ambulance, and get her to the hospital before her water breaks. And they said, oh, that happened about 30 minutes ago. And I said, oh, to myself, oh, Lord. So anyway, we got her in the ambulance, and when we got her in the ambulance, I told the other fellow, I said, now I know we're not supposed to run lights for this kind of a trip, but you turn those lights on, and don't you stop for any red lights. Let's get this woman to the hospital. You see, when I took the course, The very last session that we had, I asked the instructor if I could miss that so I could go from Columbus to Ohio home. And so I missed the last lesson of the course. And you know what the last lesson was? It was how to assist a woman if you take one to the hospital that is in labor. And I told the fellow, I said, I missed this lesson. And I said, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. And I said, I'm not interested in delivering a baby tonight. 20 years old, you can imagine that. So anyhow, I got in the back of the ambulance and away that we went. And she was having her labor pains. And she would start pushing, and I'm standing and sitting there saying, oh, please, don't push, don't push. Trying everything I could to keep her from starting to the delivery of that baby. And the good news of the story is that we did get her to the hospital, and I didn't have to do anything except try to comfort her and try to help, comfort her and try to help her to stay calm. But we got to the hospital and we got her there in time, and I'm very thankful for that. But I still remember how I felt when I came to a situation that I had never experienced before, didn't know anything about it, and yet here I am, you're thrust into that thing and you've got to deal with it. Thank the Lord I didn't have to deal with it to the extent that it could have been. But folks, that's the way life is sometimes. We can prepare all we want sometimes, and still we're not ready for the things that come our way. You know that? You get blindsided sometimes. We say sometimes, well, I didn't expect that. That's not what I expected. Or when I started out or set out to do something, that's not the results that I expected out of this. We get that a lot in life. But when it comes to the need of my soul and salvation and eternity, I need to put a little bit more effort into it than that. It is possible that we can be sure, isn't it? We can be sure that when we draw our last breath, that we are ready to go to heaven. It's possible for us to be sure. I told this also, and I'm going to tell these right here at the beginning, that when my sister passed away a couple months ago, and we knew she was dying. She knew she was dying. And I said to her, and I looked her right in the face, and I said, sis, I said, are you afraid? And she looked at me, and she had her eyes closed, and she opened her eyes and looked at me, and she said, you mean of dying? And I said, yeah. Are you afraid of dying? She said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It made me to know that there is a way that I can be prepared for that time. That when I know that I'm about to leave this world over and to go over to the other world, that I can be prepared for that time. There is a scripture that's found in the 90th chapter of Psalms. The Lord gave me this here a while back. But He talks about in the 7th verse, it says, we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, we get called a lot of times, ministers, to preach someone's funeral. Well, we get up there and we say words, and we hopefully preach a little salvation message to the ones that are living, because that one that has passed away, they're in eternity now. And they've already spent their life as a tale that is told. They've already told their life, haven't they? They've already left the example that they have left. And there really isn't anything that we can do but say the good, talk about the good memories that we have of them, and try to encourage the family and loved ones that are not ready to meet God to get ready, to prepare to meet God. That's what we try to do. But we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to say tonight that that's good counsel for every one of us, amen, saved or unsaved.
Amen.
It is good counsel. Lord, help us. He said something about according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. It's good counsel tonight for us to always keep the fear of God before us. It's good counsel tonight that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. It seems like there's so many people living like they're going to live forever here. It seemed like they're just going and going and going and not giving any real thought to where they're going. When I draw my last breath, folks, I'm going somewhere else. And I'm going to be in the hands of God. And my life, my tale that I've told in my life, how I've lived, as a tree fall, so shall it stand. That's how we're going to mean ourselves before God, isn't it? It's important that we consider those things. Even the writer over in, was it Haggai, said, consider your ways. It's time for us to consider our ways. My thoughts ought to be, especially when I go to bed at night, when I was out in sin, I used to tell my wife, if I die tonight, I know I'm going to go to hell. Well, that's an awful thing.
Yes.
I knew I wasn't prepared to die that night. And you know, it might not be bad when we say a bad idea, when we say our prayers and we go to bed at night and we're ready to go in a state of unconsciousness, so to speak, that we be sure, that we talk to God and be sure that everything is clear and everything is right between us and God. How have we lived that day? We need to consider that. Apply our hearts unto wisdom tonight. Think about the man, the wise man that wrote Ecclesiastes, those words over there. In the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, he talks about how that he got everything that he wanted. He got everything that he wanted. There's people out there searching and seeking for so many things. I remember years ago, my brother and I was riding around in this real ritzy neighborhood. And he said, very expensive homes, $400,000 homes. And he said, do you notice anything here? He said, it was evening time. It was late afternoon, evening time. And he said, do you notice anything here as we're driving through? He said, you don't see very many cars in the driveway, do you? He said, because both of them are out there working trying to pay for this place that they're living in. You know, that's the way people live today. I see it, I want it, I gotta have it, and whatever it takes, I'm gonna put into it. That's where I'm gonna put my money. That's where I'm gonna put my time. If I want it, and it pleases me, and it satisfies me, that's what I'm gonna do whatever it takes in order to get it. Folks, that's not preparing. That's not a wise man preparing for eternity, is it? There are people today, and Brother Tony alluded to this when he was taking prayer requests, but there are people today that get up in the morning and they don't really give any thought what they're going to do. Whatever happens next, they deal with it at that time. Don't have any real direction in their life. Don't even have any plans for the day, so to speak. My wife will say some mornings when she finally has a day off from babysitting or the nursing that she does, she'll say, well, what is your thoughts or your plans for the day? I said, well, I'm just glad that we're both able to be together today. Maybe we just could sit back, relax, and enjoy it a little bit. But there's people out there that are just filling their time with all kinds of things. He said, everything that my eye saw, everything that I desired, that's what I wanted. And he said, I went out and I got it. He got all those things, and you can read the second chapter. There's just, the Lord blessed him just abundantly. He got all the things that satisfied him in this life. And after he got all those things, what did he say? He stepped back and he looked at that, and no doubt he was contemplating the end of his life and where he was going to spend eternity, or you don't spend eternity, let me change that. Where he was going to go into eternity, and he stepped back and he looked at all these things, Folks, do you have things? I remember when I was younger, my children were little, and I was working, had a good job, making good money. Many of you have heard about the boat that I went out and bought. I wanted to get out and enjoy myself with the family with the boat out on the water. We did those kind of things. We had motorhomes. We had campers. We had trailers. We traveled. We did this. We did that. My wife said I had a motorcycle. I had all the toys out there. But folks, they don't bring any lasting pleasure. They're not going to be there for me when I draw my last breath. I looked at my sister there, and after I watched her draw her last breath and considered my grief for a little while, then I looked around. She didn't have a whole lot, but she had a place to live. She had the pretty things out there on display in her house in the living room and things on the walls and things like that. She had those kind of things. She had a car. She had a nice place to live, but it didn't matter anymore. She drew her last breath. She was gone. Didn't matter anymore. There was no need of those things for her anymore. She was somewhere else now. She was in the hands of God. And sometimes I think all of us, if we're not careful, can get a little too focused on things and put a little bit too much importance on things. You know what a car is? A car is a instrument to get me from point A to point B. I like for them to look nice. I tell my wife that if they look nice, if you keep them clean, they drive better. They run better. She doesn't believe that, but it seemed like it to me. But that's really what it is, isn't it? I can go out and I can spend $15,000 for a car. I can go out and spend $115,000 for a car. Either one of them, as long as they're running, they're going to get me from point A to point B. Other than that, that $115,000 car is for people to look at and ooh and ah. Since I've been here, I've seen, I don't know where they, did anybody else see that parade of vehicles that went down the road here today? I don't know if they were BMWs or what they were. There were a bunch of convertibles and then there was some hard tops in it.
There were Porsches.
There were Porsches. Porsches. Just a line of Porsches went down that highway today. And I mean, there wasn't anybody in between it. It was all one right after another, Porsches. I was out on a trip. I don't remember now where I was coming from. I've been so many places this year. But I was going down a highway, and this green Ford Mustang went by me, a late model Ford Mustang. He went by me on the highway. I'm over here in the old man's right-hand lane where I'm supposed to be, and he goes around me. Well, after he went around me, another one went around me. And after he went around me, another one. I looked in my rearview mirror, and that was probably 20 or 25 of those green Mustangs. Different years, different style, but they were all late model year. About 20, 25 Mustangs all went around me going down the highway. Have their little party, you know. We got a club, I guess it is. You know, folks, couldn't their time better spent in things of the soul? Couldn't their time have better, their money, and their energy, and their efforts, couldn't it have been better spent considering the things of their soul? I don't know what their soul's needs were. I don't know where they were with the Lord. But folks, I want to tell you, things really don't matter at that time. Things are not important. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. Lord, don't let me put a lot of emphasis on things. A house is a place to live in. We like for it to look nice, and we like for things to work that are inside the house. But folks, it's something to live in. I got all that I wanted, he said. Everything that I wanted. He had musicians, he had gold, silver, he had it all. And he said after he looked on it all, it was just vanity. It was just vanity. It wasn't going to do me any good. Where I'm going, those things are going to be gone from me forever. And they won't profit me a thing when I get out into eternity. Preparation. A wise man prepares for the things that are ahead. We do the best we can anyway. We don't always know what is around the corner, but God knows. And you know, I can prepare for tomorrow by seeking the Lord for direction in my life.
That's right.
I can prepare tomorrow for asking the Lord to guide me, for the Lord to give me wisdom and the understanding. He tells us that, teach us, he said, number our days. Folks, every day is precious. I love life. It's not always pleasurable. There's always a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of times there's difficulty. There's sorrows in life. There's troubles in life. Things don't always go our way. Brother Ivan and I was talking before the service. You get our age, just about every time that I get up from a chair now, if I've been here any length of time at all, my body, my legs start popping and cracking. I told my grandchildren I sound like a box of cereal when I get up out of my chair. And they think that's really funny. I said, you'll get there one of these days. Folks, the body begins to fade. The body begins to fail. Things begin to change in life, don't they? We need to be real considerate, every one of us. And you know, I know when we're young, we think, well, we've got plenty of time to prepare for those things. You don't know that.
That's right.
You don't know that. We don't know, none of us. There's a scripture that speaks to that. It's Proverbs 27:1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what a day may bring forth, folks. I was down in Louisiana. Some of you that have been around me lately have heard this. But I want to tell this too. This has left a real impact upon my mind. It's left a real impact upon my heart that makes me to know, folks, that we, everyone, need to be prepared for that time. Because it is surely coming. The Bible says there, it is appointed and the man wants to die. It's an appointment we're going to meet. I was down in Louisiana the first week of May and finishing up a revival. That's what it was. Finishing up a revival down there. I had been to my home congregation the Sunday before, and Brother Roger and Sister Melody Hood were there that Sunday. They lived about 80, 85 miles away, but they were pretty faithful when they could to come to service. And they had been there that Sunday, and I got to speak to them a little while between Sunday school and the regular service, and we had a nice little visit there. But little did any of us know that was the last time I'd ever see Brother Roger alive. We didn't have a clue. Folks, we don't know those things. But God does. Lord, help me to number my days. Help me to apply my heart to wisdom. My wisdom is that I need to prepare and get ready because I don't know when that day is going to come. So that was on Sunday, on Friday night, towards the end of the meeting there that we were having there in LaRonde. I get a phone call. Brother Clint called me, and then my wife called me, and Sister Melody was trying to get a hold of me. Friday evening, said he came home from work, and he was feeling pretty good, said she had dinner ready. He said, you know, he said, let's eat that tomorrow. I feel like going out and getting something tonight, and I'm going to take the gas cans, and I'm going to fill them up, and I want to go home, and I want to mow the yard, and weed whack, and all those kind of things. You know, living life. That's what we do, isn't it? We live life. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's why we're here. We live life. But folks, don't put the main focus on the life that you're living here. Put the main focus on the soul that's traveling to eternity one of these days.
Yeah.
And Sister Melody, when I talked to her, she was in shock. She said they went home and he was out mowing, and since she saw him with the weed whacker and she was pulling weeds out of her flower garden, working out there with him, and said all of a sudden she realized things were quiet. She hadn't seen him for a while. So she walked into the garage. There he sat. Dead. Sitting in a chair. He knew something was coming, obviously. And he sat down in the chair, and she found him with his head laying back in the chair. Shocked. No warning. No warning whatsoever. She said, Brother Lee, he just told me the other day, 3 more years, honey. 3 more years. He said, I'm going to retire. And he said, we're going to have it all right. We'll be able to enjoy ourselves. We'll be able to travel. We'll be able to go visit the children. They had children in Texas and one in Florida. And he said, we'll be able to do these things. Just 3 more years. She went in there in the garage, and there he was. Gone. In eternity. She said, I drove from Louisiana home, and then the next day I had to go to Newark, Ohio, and there he was, laying in the car. And I just saw him, just visited with him, just a week and a half before. And she's standing there, and she said, Brother Larry, You know, I wish somehow that we could get the impact of this. But it seems like we can't get the impact of this. I think about Abraham told the rich man. You know, the rich man said, send Lazarus back. And what did Abraham say? Though one rose from the dead, I still wouldn't hear it. So, it just doesn't seem like it's hard. It seems like it's hard for us to get the impact of this. But she said, Brother Larry, I see him laying there. Yeah, he's laying there. She said, I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it. She was in shock. She said, I can't cry. I can't do anything. I can't even think right. He took care of all the finances. He did this and he did that, and I don't know where anything is. And her children, she had four adult children, and they came to her rescue and surrounded their mother and was a real support to her. But she said, I can't believe it. And I said, you know, the day will come. I understand where you are. I've never lost a companion. I've lost loved ones. I lost a brother that was very, very close to me, just like that. But I said, the day will come when those tears will flow. They have a language all their own. The day will come when you can deal with this grief that you have today. But she was in shock. Here, this moment, and then gone the next. That's the way life can be, isn't it? It's the way that life can be. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What do you suppose wisdom is tonight? What do you think wisdom is tonight? The Bible tells us, and also in Ecclesiastes, he says the whole duty of man. You know, when you bring that all in, and the whole life that I live, and all that I do in life, and I consider all the things from day to day to day to day. Sometimes days seem like they really drag on, don't they? But when you turn around and look at the year, you say, where did this year go? Life's going by really fast, folks, it seems like. We're headed to the judgment. We're headed to eternity. And I don't remember what I was saying now before I said that. But anyway, folks, it happens very quickly. It can happen very quickly, and we need to be prepared for that. Oh, I know what it was. He said the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. I'm a pretty simple fellow. You all know that. But folks, I can handle that. That's my duty. That's wisdom, is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's wisdom. Now, y'all are looking at someone that walked away from this as a young man. You know that. And went out into the world and did my little thing out there. And the devil took me places that I never dreamed that I'd ever go. And the devil will do that with every one of you. He'll do that with every one of you if you can. If we don't have the grace and the help of God in our lives, He'll do it with every one of us. But when I was out there and when I was doing those things, you know, I couldn't do the things that I was doing and enjoying like the other fellows. I couldn't enjoy them like my buddies could, because I knew there was something better than that. Saints, isn't it wonderful that we know there's something better than sin? There's something better than what's out there that the world is seeking after and running after, spending all their time, their effort, their money to seek after, the entertainments of the world and those kind of things. Isn't it wonderful that we know that there is something better? We sit around sometimes today and we have conversations about our country and the direction that our country's going and the condition that it's in, and what's going to happen if it keeps going in its direction. I'll tell you, we know what's going to happen, folks. There's never been a nation. There's never been a people. There's never been a person turn their back on God and profit.
That's right.
We can't turn our back on God and profit. That's what's going to happen. Fear God and keep His commandments. I think about, you know, the time that you and I are living in, and I look out and I see a lot of young folks here tonight. Yeah, I used to be young once, but now I'm the old folk. And I see a lot of young folks out there tonight. And it makes me think, this little setting tonight makes me think of Sodom and Gomorrah. To the point where when the Lord sent the angels and told Lot, He said, gather your wife and your family. If you got anyone else He said, you got to get out of here. God's going to destroy these cities. Folks, God's going to send judgment on America.
Yeah.
He's already working on that. Judgment is already coming to America. It's coming to this people that is turning their back on God, seeking after the pleasures to satisfy the flesh. That's not wisdom, folks. That's not wise to seek after those kind of things. It's not wise to take on man's wisdom and man's understanding and what man puts his preferences on. What man puts his ideas on, that's not wise at all. He said, have you got anyone? Well, I got a couple daughters and a couple sons-in-law. I said, go get them. You got to get out of here. And it just burns on my heart. When I think of when Lot went to get his sons-in-law, and he told them, we got to get out of this wicked city. God is going to destroy it. And he said that, the Bible says that he was as one that mocked under them. They laughed at him. What are you talking about? Why, it's been like this for years. It is. God's not going to destroy it. It's going to keep on going. It's been like this for a long time. What are you talking about, old man? He said, we got to get out of here. God's going to destroy it. And I thought about Lot and those children. Those children were born in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were born there. And that's all they knew. That's what they grew up in. Young folks today, please heed the word of God.
Amen.
Please take a little warning from old people.
Yes.
People that understand God, understand His ways through His word. Please take a little warning. Have a little wisdom. Folks, those young folks, that's all they knew. And they were surrounded by wickedness. They were surrounded by evil. They were surrounded by sin. There's people in here tonight that doesn't know that there were days before television. You don't know that there were days before McDonald's. You don't know there were days before Walmart. You don't know there were days before a lot of other things that I could mention, before the internet and the pornography that is produced on that and all the other wickedness and evil that is in our world today. You don't know about the days whenever the homosexuals were in their closet, so to speak. They didn't push it in our face like they do today. Folks, times are changing. Young folks, listen to me tonight. Don't mock. Don't laugh. This is real, what I'm telling you. I'm willing to make these statements and stand before God at the judgment and stand for the statements that I make tonight. But Lot knew. See, those children, that's all they knew. But Lot knew something. He knew something better than that. He came from another place. He wasn't born and raised in Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew there was something better. He was Abraham's nephew. And he knew there was something better. He knew that Abraham was a God-fearing man. He knew about God. He knew about those kind of things. And he knew there was something better. He said, come on, we've got to get out of here. That God's going to destroy these cities. And what did God do? After they got out of there, He destroyed them, didn't He? God is God of His words. You can count on that, folks. And the Bible says that He is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry. I believe He's very angry today. And I think about His love, and we talk about His love, and I love to talk about His love. But folks, His wrath is just as great as His love. When God gets angry, you know, I've heard people kind of brag, if you will, a little bit about how they get mean whenever they get angry. Folks, there's no comparison here. It's apples to oranges, or it's fruit to nuts that you're comparing. God, when God gets angry, He poured out His wrath and destroyed them. All of them. Because He couldn't find 10 righteous people. Lord, help you and I. I appreciate the praise that I've heard tonight, giving to God for all of His faithfulness, for all of His goodness, and how He's blessing every one of us. Saints, hold on. Because I believe that's what's staying God from coming. I believe that's what's staying God from calling this world to judgment. Our children, our families, our loved ones that we're praying for. Saints, hold on. Keep praising God. Keep lifting up your hearts and your voices to the Lord, because we entreat Him when we do that. And we beg Him tonight to please have mercy on souls. I know that it's not God's will that any should perish. He said so. But that all men should come to repentance. We're going to have to repent, aren't we? We're going to have to prepare. We're going to have to get ready. Because another day is coming. Another time is coming. In a period of 3.5 or 4 weeks, something like that, 4 people that I knew, one sister Helen Underdown, and Brother Hood, and my sister-in-law's sister that I had known since I was a little boy, 4 of them went out into eternity. You know, when death begins to hit like that and come that close, it'll make you think. I picked up the paper the other day, just this week at home, and I look at the obituaries now. I picked up the paper one day, and you know, there were three people there that died 64 years old. Guess what? If I live to see next Thursday, I'll be 64 years old. You think that doesn't ring a little bell here? You think that doesn't... That isn't a wake-up call? Brother Roger, you know how old Brother Roger was? 60. He was 60. He wasn't 64. He was 60 and he went out into eternity. Just like that. Well, I believe God enough to know that His Word is going to endure forever. And He's going to be faithful to it. As much as He desires and wants to see every soul saved, there will come a day when souls will be cut off. It came that way in Noah's day.
That's right. Yeah.
God knew that, you know, there's people here tonight that they would get saved for you if they could. We'd get saved for you if we could. I'd get saved for my children if I could. And God knows that. And whenever it come time and Noah and all the family was in there, He didn't let Noah shut the door.
That's right.
So Noah shut the door and his people outside started pleading and screaming to let us in. Noah would open the door. I'd open the door. I just tell you, I'd open the door. I don't want to see anyone perish. I don't want to see anyone lost. But God closed the door. That's what the Bible said. And Noah couldn't open it. They could cry and plead all they wanted to, but the day of mercy had passed, hadn't it? The day of grace was gone. God shut the door. And you know, this same loving, wonderful God is going to shut the door one of these days. We had the parable of the 10 virgins. He's going to shut the door. And those of us that are professors, those of us that have secondhand experiences, those of us that aren't really where we ought to be, we know who we are. We know who we are. Those of us that have something that's not working. Those of us that don't have the relationship with God where we can commune with Him and have His Spirit and presence commune with us. We know who we are. We can sit in the pews and we can even praise the Lord and we can sing the songs, folks. But folks, it's going to take a personal relationship with God. A working relationship with God. Teach us to number our ways, our days. That we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, every one of us tonight. Let's be wise. Whenever someone looks in your face or my face and watches us draw our last breath, if it be that way, let them have a good, clear hope of where I am and where you are when we slip out into eternity.
Amen.
Oh, my little sister, she was precious. I know she was my sister, but she was in my congregation, and I feel like a good pastor knows people in his congregation spiritually. And she said to me before she passed, she said, "Has the Lord showed you anything for me?" I said, "Yes, sister, He sure has." Told me that he was looking down in his little garden, and he saw a rose that had bloomed. And he's going to come down and pluck it. He's going to take his little rose home. Got a little smile on her face, and she accepted that. And it wasn't just a few hours later when the Lord plucked that rose and took her home. Folks, that's reality. That's another thing about the world that we live in. People don't want to face reality. It's a fairy tale world out there. It's a make-believe world. We get things, that people have things trumped up in their mind. I'm going to do this. When? I'm going to do that when? Or I don't want to believe the things that are important. You know, some people want to be like the, what is it? Is it the stork? Not the stork, but the bird that sticks his head in the ostrich that sticks his head in the sand. If I don't look or I don't think about it, it won't happen. It'll go away. this isn't going to go away. And this is going to happen. No matter if we do stick our head in the sand, no matter if we don't want to think about it, it's going to happen, isn't it? David, or the writer here, I believe he realized that. He said here, our days are passed away in our wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. When God looks down on you tonight, and He looks down on your yesterdays, your past, what kind of a tale is He seeing? What kind of a story have you told with your life? When He's looking on your past, what kind of a story have you told? He's going to know. But you know you're going to know too. We're everyone going to know. We know where we stand with the Lord tonight. Preparation. I remember another thing in my life when many years ago I got an apprenticeship with General Motors back in 1972. That's back in the 1900s. And I got an apprenticeship as a millwright. And I remember for 3.5 years I worked with a journeyman. Boy, you talk about nice. That easy sale. I worked with a journeyman, and when I went into work, it wasn't the years. It was a 4-year apprenticeship, but it was based on how many hours that you worked. 916 hours for a period, 8 periods. And once you completed that, you was a journeyman. So I would go into work, you know, and the boss would come along, and he'd give the journeyman a job, and he'd say, let me go with him. Well, I knew he was responsible for everything. I mean, I could go out there and I'm learning and I'm on the job training here and I'm trying to learn everything I can. But when the bottom line was that whenever the day was over and the job was done or it wasn't done, if it was done right or done wrong, the journeyman was responsible for it. But you know, it took me 3.5 years to get in my hours. And the day I walked in there one day for work, and the boss come up and he said, Larry. He said, Are you a journeyman yet? I said, yes. He said, I thought you were. He said, I want you to go out here and do such and such. Take this apprentice here with you. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I thought I was prepared. When I got out there on that job, I'd done it, I don't know how many times, but you talk about a scared fellow. A scared fellow. Supposed to be, you're a journeyman now. You know, the Lord is going to come along someday and He's going to say, you heard the truth. You sat under the sound of the gospel. I dealt with you. I convicted your heart of needs. Different places in your life. I convicted your heart, and now you're going to be responsible because you ought to be prepared to come and meet me at the judgment. I went out there and I was scared, as the old phrase is, scared to death. And I got out there, and you know, all I had to do was just start getting involved, and I was able to do the job and try to help. I didn't want my apprentice to know that I was scared and terrified out of my mind. Yeah, but when you get out there and you're responsible, you're the one the boss is going to turn to at the end of the day. Did you get that job done? Did it go well? You're the one that's responsible. Folks, we're going to stand before God responsible. We're going to stand before God, every one of us, responsible for the deeds that we have done in this life. I know that we can be prepared for things sometimes and still they happen. Still, they don't happen the way that we thought that we were going, that it was going to happen. But there's no surprises with God, is there? And you know, I've learned that it's a blessing and wonderful to live my life with God, putting myself in His hands. Trust not in thine, lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own. I've learned that whenever I just put my day, I wake up in the morning many times and say, Lord, good morning. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for this day. I'm going to need you today, Lord. I'm going to need you for direction. I'm going to need your spirit to deal with my heart. I want you to inspire the word upon my heart today. Have communication and communion with the Lord. Direction in my life. When I used to wander aimlessly out there, and whatever happened for the day, I dealt with it as it came. Folks, we can do better than that.
We can have the Lord on our side and the Lord with us, and He will give us the grace and the help that we need. He promised. He promised, didn't He, that He would do that. Oh, God is so good to us. I suppose, wouldn't you think that when Jonah got up that morning, do you think he knew? You think he ever dreamed he would end up in a fish's belly? You think he ever thought about that? He probably didn't think about that at all, that he would end up in a fish's belly. Do you suppose that Samson, he had his plan? God prepared. God had plans for Samson. Do you know He has plans for every one of us? I remember a message that Brother Tony preached a long time ago, that scripture in Jeremiah where he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace. He knows, He's got plans for every one of us. He had plans for Samson. Folks, He's got plans for you. Not just preachers, He got plans for every one of us. He had plans for Samson, and it was preordained what Samson was to be. But when he got old enough and he was able to make his choices and things began to look good to his eyes and brought pleasure to his flesh, he got other ideas than what God had. He had other ideas. He wanted a wife that he should have not wanted. He wanted other things that he should have not wanted. He toyed around, he played around with the blessings that God had bestowed upon him. And it cost him. Folks, every time that we play around with God, every time that we reject His dealings and Spirit's pleading with our hearts, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost every one of us because we're dealing with God. We can make plans that can cost us in life. Plans that can cost us. I remember back, I'm going back in my life now, back as I was meeting my wife, working at Children's Hospital in Columbus back in 1968. There was a young boy, 17 years old, Dennis McBride. How could I ever forget him? A big, husky boy. Him and his buddies were out there at a lake, and they were jumping off the side of a cliff or the side of the bank. And they were diving into the water. He did it one time too many. And when he went down in that water, his head hit a rock that he didn't see there. And it broke his neck. And he was completely paralyzed from ear down. Completely. You know, my wife told me one time, she's seen a lot of things. She's been a nurse for 54 years. She said, there are things worse than death. And I really, at the time, couldn't grasp it. Folks, there's things worse than death. Dennis McBride sat in a wheelchair with these fingers like this in his hand and held them right here, and that's it. That's all he could do. Couldn't move his legs. Couldn't move his hand. Couldn't open his hand. Completely paralyzed, a quadriplegic. All because he made one dive too many off that cliff and hit his head on a rock and broke his neck. We need to prepare, don't we?
Yes.
None of us know what tomorrow's going to bring for us. I remember this past week, I thought about this meeting. Look at all the people are here. And I said, Lord, there's going to be a lot of people traveling. Please give traveling mercy.
Amen.
How easy is it for us to take things for granted, folks? Oh, we take things for granted so quickly. Lord, give everyone traveling mercy. It's good to see everyone. I'm glad everyone's here. But those highways are dangerous. You've all seen horrible accidents out there on those highways. It could be us. God could permit that. Lord, help me to number my day. Help me to be prepared. If that's the way God chooses to take me out of this world, help me to be ready for that day, for that time. God is good to us, folks. But let's don't take Him for granted. Let's give God the praise and the glory and honor that is due Him and recognize that honor and acknowledge that He is sovereign. He's a sovereign God. How many here tonight, is anyone here tonight that He's ever come to you and asked you if He could do something? If He could work something in someone else's life? If He could make this and do that? He had that little talk with Job, didn't he? Where were you when I did all these things? He doesn't come and ask me or tell me what he's going to do. God does what he will, doesn't he? I don't understand why he takes a mother that loves her little children and she dies of cancer and takes her out of here and yet lets a mother that abuses her little children and is into drugs and all those kind of things. I just had someone come crying to me, pleading with me to pray for her mother because her mother's out there, loves her drugs. When we come home from school, she's not even home, doesn't care what happens to us. When I accuse her of taking drugs, of using drugs, she gets all mad and upset and hollers and screams at us. I can't understand some of the things that God does. But God's sovereign, folks. We're here tonight because he's allowing us to live. Well, that's why we're here. The writer said he gives life, breath, and all life and breath. I know I've talked to some of you, but I've had experiences of not being able to get my breath, and that is a very unpleasant and serious experience when you can't get your breath. God is sovereign, folks, and we need to keep that on our minds and on our hearts. I want to look at another scripture in Amos. Many of you will know what that scripture says. Amos, the 4th chapter. I won't do a lot of reading down to it. But he says in the 10th verse, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. Did he say the devil did that? Or did he say, I done it? God said he did it, didn't he? Devil gets blamed for a lot of things, but folks, when it comes to sin, God hates it. God hates it. And when he pours his wrath out upon it, he'll flat tell us. He'll plainly tell us, I did it. That's what he says here. I have sent among you the pestilence. After the manner of Egypt, your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up under your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, but ye were in a firebrand, but ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know, when my life is not pleasing to the Lord, we wonder sometimes why all of the adversity. Why do we have all these problems? Why do we have all these things? And I'm not going to stand here tonight and say that everything that happens to you that God is sending because you're not living right. You're living for the Lord. But I'm going to say he can and he will. He will do those things. And his purpose was to help them to see that they need someone. They need someone greater than them. You got all these problems, these heartaches, these sorrows, these troubles. People are dying among you, but you haven't returned unto me. You haven't returned unto me. A lot of you have heard me say, my dad told me when I was a boy, that people are like hogs in a hog lot with an acorn tree in the middle of it. They'll go around all day long eating those acorns, but they never look up and see where they're coming from. And that's the way people are. God blesses people. And he sends blessings after blessings. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust, but they never look up and thank God for the blessings. And then he sends his wrath, doesn't he? And he said, and yet ye have not returned unto me. Thus, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Folks, tonight, that's the counsel that the Lord has for us here, is to prepare. Whatever it takes, wherever you are, whoever you are on your walk of life, be prepared. Because we don't know. We just don't know. And I'm not, this isn't meant to scare. This is reality. This is real. This is reality. We don't know the day or the hour. Any of us do. But he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Lord, help us to be prepared. You know, there's another place, and I won't turn to it. I believe the Lord is satisfied with what I said tonight. But there's another place where We all know pretty good the scripture in the 14th chapter of John, don't we? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Folks, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Someone that has applied their hearts unto wisdom, numbered their days, considered their life, considered what they're doing, the preparations that they are making for eternity. We're everyone here tonight making a choice. This meeting, that's what one of the things this meeting is about. The things that we hear out of the Word of God, and when God speaks and talks to our hearts, it is to help us to be prepared. Live a better life. Live closer to God. Draw closer to Him in every way that we can. Be prepared, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. But He told the Pharisees, didn't He? In the 8th chapter of John, whenever they was railing out on Him, He said, where I am, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So it's just very plain. Jesus was very plain about death. He's very plain about eternity and where we're going to live in eternity. If you die in your sin, or sin, can I say a sin? Sin will keep us out of heaven. If we die in our sin, where He is, that place that He's going to prepare, where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, we can't go there. It's a matter of fact. The preacher didn't say it. Preacher didn't write it. No man wrote it. Jesus said it, didn't He? Where I am, you cannot come. So let us be wise tonight. Take this one little message here in this meeting so far and consider our way. Consider where we are. And let's ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, those things that You've been dealing with me about, those things that You've been, that thing You put on my heart, You've been convicting me and showing me where I need to make a change or I need to move up. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, help me to get to the place that when I lay down tonight, you won't be like old Mary used to be. If I die tonight, I know I'll go straight to hell. That was an awful feeling. It was an awful feeling to know what I knew as a young man and to live this life as a young man and then go away and let the enemy take advantage of it. And he'll take advantage of each and every one of us. If we'll let him, he'll take advantage of it. May the Lord have mercy on us and help us supply our hearts unto wisdom.